The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
And welcome to Bob Burney Live. This is the 5 o'clock hour on a Wednesday. And my telephone number continues to be the same. In fact, it has been for, well, over 21 years now. 877-BOB-LIVE. 21 years. 21 years. 877-BOB-LIVE. 877-262-5483. I'm just wondering, when I step away from this microphone, when, you know, I retire or get fired or whatever, and, you know, I just wonder how long it'll take before I would forget the telephone number. I mean, I have given it out thousands and thousands and thousands of times in 21 and a half years. 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. But have you ever noticed things that you remember by rote and you repeat it over and over and over again? Sometimes you forget those. When Joy and I were in college, We had chapel every day, and the school had a creed, a statement of faith, statement of belief, and we recited it every single day for 4 years. Well, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday in chapel, we recited it. And fine, I think having a school creed and believing, I think it's great. I have no problem with it all. But I don't know how many hundreds of times I repeated the school creed for 4 years. I could not tell you what that creed says if my life depended upon it. And I'm not boasting about that, but it's true. So I'm just wondering how long it would take me to, what was that telephone number that I gave out all those thousands of times? I don't know. Anyway. Christian colleges and universities continue to slide to the left. And if you are a regular listener to the program, you know what happens to anyone, everyone, anything, everything that the left touches kills it, destroys it. And the farther to the left the organization, the individual goes, the quicker the negative impact. Many, myself included, have been very concerned about Wheaton College up in Chicago for a long time. And I have felt, just personally, that they have been sliding little by little to the left. They're becoming more politically correct. They're becoming more woke. They are letting a little bit of leftist theology slip in. It wasn't long ago before they... there is a plaque on the campus. Many of you are familiar with the movie Through Gates of Splendor and the book The American missionaries in Ecuador who were savagely killed when trying to reach a tribe of people in Ecuador. And folks, before this tribe found Christ, and the wonderful story is they were all killed. All of these missionaries were killed. But not long after that, the sister of one of the missionaries and the wife of one of the missionaries killed went to that same tribe. And the end result, Most of them accepted Christ. They became a Christian village. They became a Christian tribe. It was a wonderful, glorious thing. But before those Indians got saved, they were savages. It's true. They were savages. Well, there was a plaque on campus at Wheaton because at least one, maybe two of the missionaries that were killed were alumni of Wheaton. And there was a plaque honoring them, and it talked about the savages that killed them. Well, a bunch of woke people on campus, faculty and students, says, we can't call people savages because they might be offended. Well, they were savages then. But as a result of the pressure, Wheaton College succumbed, became more woke, and they changed the wording on the plaque because they didn't want to offend savages, I guess. Well, here's the latest, and it's sad. Of course, most of you know that there is a battle over evolution and creation. Theistic evolution is sweeping through the evangelical community like wildfire. Now, what's the difference between biblical creation and theistic evolution? Well, biblical creation takes the first three chapters of the book of Genesis literally. God really did create Adam in his own image and then created Eve. There really was a Garden of Eden. God really did create man just as he is today and breathe life into him. Creationists take the book of Genesis literally. Theistic evolutionists are trying to have the best of both worlds. They don't want to be outcasts from the scientific community, and yet they want to claim to be Christians. They don't want to be considered weird and strange by the scientific community by believing the Bible. So they have come up with theistic evolution. Okay, well, yeah, we believe in evolution, that man evolved from a lower form of life and so forth, but God started the evolutionary process. Now, think about that. What they're saying is God didn't have the power to create man and woman in his own image. He had to use natural means to do it. He just didn't have the power to do it any other way. So he started with some little one-cell amoeba-kind thing in some swamp somewhere, and it, you know, burst into life. And theistic evolution tries to bridge the gap between secular science and the Bible. And in doing so, they write off the beginning chapters of Genesis as not history, but fantasy. It's a story. It's an allegory. It didn't really happen historically. There was no Garden of Eden. There was no Adam and Eve. But God just told that story because it would be more palatable by people reading it or whatever. Theistic evolution is ridiculous. It is. It is ridiculous. Because once you begin saying that certain portions of the Bible are just fairy tales and stories, then where do you stop with that? If you say that things in the Bible that are presented as history, by the way, many theistic evolutionists do not believe that the flood was literal either. That's just a story. Well, then what about Jesus? What about the cross? Oh, yeah, we believe in that. Why? If you mark up many of the stories of the Bible as non-literal allegories, then how do you know the story of Jesus, the virgin birth, the death on the cross? How do you know those were literal and really happened? And the answer is you don't. All right. What in the world does this have to do with Wheaton? I am so glad you asked. And hang tight. I'll tell you when we come back from this break. All right. You're listening to Bob Rennie Live. My number, 877-BOB-LIVE.
Today's news, God's word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome back to Bob Burney Live. Very sad story, at least for me, about Wheaton College in Chicago. It is not uncommon for Bible colleges, Bible universities and seminaries to have special science classes for religion majors, even ministerial majors, to help future pastors, youth workers deal with the complexities of science and the Bible, the issues about creation, evolution, and so forth. So it's not uncommon at all for a Bible college to have these special classes specifically for religion majors. Sometimes they're called like Christianity and Science. And they cover scientific topics that are of interest to students who plan on specializing in theological study or pastoral ministry. Well, five Wheaton College faculty have teamed up to produce their own textbook for this kind of class. Yes, these are five Wheaton College faculty members, and they have collaborated to put together a book called Understanding Scientific Theories of Origins, Cosmology, Geology, and Biology in Christian Perspective. Now, I may be overly critical on this, and I would admit that, but in their title, I see Understanding Scientific Theories of Origins, Cosmology, Geology, and Biology in Christian Perspective. I don't see anything about biblical perspective. For me, that would be far more important than a Christian perspective, a biblical perspective. Out of the five, probably the most familiar is Professor John Walton. He is actually professor of Old Testament at Wheaton College. He's not in the science department. He's in the theology department. He is professor of Old Testament. Well, here's the problem. It is purely a representation of theistic evolution and a condemnation of creationism. Yeah. They do not even present the possibility that the first three chapters of the book of Genesis could actually be literal, that there was really an Adam and an Eve, there was really a Garden of Eden, that God actually created the earth in 7 days and so forth. No. That's not a possibility, according to this textbook written by five professors at Wheaton College. In part, they deal with the difference between natural and miracle. You know, there are natural processes. There are miraculous processes. A creationist believes that God created nature. And the whole creation story is a miracle. The whole thing is supernatural. Adam and Eve were not evolved from a natural process, but by a supernatural, miraculous creation. Here is what this textbook says. between natural and miracle. Quote, this distinction is found nowhere in Scripture. No one thought of such categories. Moreover, the biblical authors think that God is involved in everything. The natural-supernatural distinction developed much later, and people have imposed it on the Bible as they have tried to make sense of the events described in its pages and human experience. Did you hear that? They say that the biblical authors believe that God was involved in everything. And they're basically saying, oh, those foolish people. Quote, the natural-supernatural distinction developed much later. In other words, those poor Bible authors didn't understand natural processes. That didn't come until later. They didn't understand that those events that they called miraculous were really just natural. In other words, the flood was not a universal flood. It was just a whole lot of rain, and it just kind of happened. There was nothing supernatural about it. There was nothing miraculous. They even make the ridiculous claim that, quote, biological and genetic ancestry are not concepts that exist for the biblical authors. So Old Testament and New Testament claims about ancestry cannot be claims about biological or genetic ancestry. Then concerning the flood. Only a few passages in the New Testament refer to the flood, but none make a statement about its geographical scope. Luke 17 talks about how people were living their lives day by day and were caught by surprise when judgment came. He notes that future judgment will likewise catch people unaware. References God sparing Noah indicates that the world, in its broadest sense, rather than, I got to turn a page, rather than a specific claim about the extent of the flood, was deluged and destroyed. In the light of this small number of references, we find that the New Testament offers little information to help us answer the scientific questions about the extent of the flood. Bottom line, they do not believe that the flood actually happened. And if it did, it was just local. It was not universal because the New Testament does not say a whole lot about the universal aspect of the flood. Blah, 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 blah. They basically take the supernatural and the miraculous out of the Bible in order to explain it in natural ways. That is Wheaton College.